Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, I was a child that loved to read. From an early age, I loved to read, and there were all sorts of book series that I read, because that was the best when you could get a book series and go from one book to the other instead of just having to try to pick something at the library. Well, one book series that stands out to me is a book series that was called Choose Your Own Adventure. All right, I don't know if anybody else in here remembers Choose Your Own Adventure. It was of the right age group for this. 8 o'clock service looked at me like they were blank. Hey, Paul's in my group. All right, so foreign concept, but Choose Your Own Adventure books. Imagine this. So you would start reading your book that you chose, and all of a sudden you would get to a point where the main character needs to make a decision or something's potentially going to happen to them. And what happens in this book, instead of opening to the next chapter and finding out what gets to happen, you get to choose what happens. So if you think character is going to pick path A, turn to page 35. If you think that what character is going to pick is B, turn to page 27. If you think this is going to happen, turn to this page. So all through the book, you're getting to help decide what happens. It made a fantastic book because somebody who likes to be in control, like myself, gets to have some control over the story and some way of deciding what happens. Now, I'm sure when the author wrote this book series that with each book, they had their favorite storyline. They had their favorite ending of what they wanted it to be and would hope that you would pick it. But you as the reader got the freedom to make the choice of what was going to happen. Well, based off this idea that we as human beings like to make decisions, we like to be in control, we like to have the freedom to make choices, is what's going to drive us over the next 3 weeks here in worship. Today we are going to be looking at how we choose joy. Next week we're going to be seeing how it is that we choose love. And finally for Thanksgiving week, we're going to see how we choose gratitude. Because what happens, but we go back from the very beginning and we remember that God granted us the freedom to choose, the freedom to make choices, I should say. And each day we are you ready for this? We are going to choose who we are going to be, okay? You understand what that means? I woke up this morning, and when I woke up this morning, my brain was reactivated, my eyes open, and right from that minute, I got to choose what kind of day I was going to have. Do you believe me? You should. Right from that moment, we get to pick what day we're going to have because of the attitude that we have when we wake up. Let me elaborate on this. As we look to this, let's think about this. So God is like this Choose Your Own Adventure author. God designed us, God created us, and he knew that there were a million different paths that we could take in life. That every corner, we could make a choice of what's going to happen and what we're going to do. Now, God, like the author, when he created each one of us, had like the ultimate plan. That God would say, if they could make every choice that I would want them to make, here's how their life would go, and here's how it would end. But we are in control, aren't we? Because God gave us that freedom right from the very beginning with free will. In Deuteronomy, he gave us instructions. Deuteronomy, he said, you have choices to make, and I hope that you will choose life and that you will be blessed by it. Well, God continues to give us instructions. As we go into the book of Galatians, as we look at today in our reading, God put before us choices. He said, absolutely, you as human beings, you as my creation, you have choices that you're going to make. Now, one of those choices that you can make is the desires of the flesh. And God says, these are not the decisions I want you to make. These are the decisions that do not make you a good person. These are the decisions that are not obedient to my law. These are the things that corrupt the heart more than grow the heart. There's a list of them in Galatians 5 if you want to look at them, but that's not where I want to focus today. So God says, here are the sins of the flesh. You can pick what humans want the most, okay? It's like when you go to the buffet and all you want is the ice cream bar, and God says, don't pass the vegetables first. 2 out of 3 of my kids head for the ice cream. 1 heads for the vegetables. Do you know which one's my favorite? Yeah. All right, so anyways, but then God says, those are the ways of the flesh, but I pray what you will choose is the fruits of the Spirit. And he lays those out and he says, these are the choices I want you to make. He says, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace. Mine says forbearance. I don't like that word. Peace, I like much better. It's easier to understand. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. God says, these are the best parts of who you are, and this is what I desire for you to choose. He calls us to choose the fruits of the Spirit. In each moment of each day, how do you allow these to be the choices that you make? And the one of those that I want to focus on today is joy. Joy. What really is joy? Well, to look at joy, I think we need to see that joy is often a matter of perspective. And I stumbled upon this story last year when I was asked to speak for the PEO lunch. So if you were standing at the door of PEO lunch last year and listened to me speak, you get to hear the story again, but it's a good story, so it's worth hearing twice. So anyways, there was a little boy named Ben. I'm gonna make up a name because I can't remember what the name was. And I remembered it first service. So anyways, there's Ben, okay? And Ben's mom is watching from the kitchen window as Ben heads out into the backyard to play with his two favorite toys, a baseball in one hand and a baseball bat in the other. So Billy heads out to the place where he plays baseball in the backyard, and he's kind of getting ready to head out there, and she's watching, and when he gets to what he has as the plate, Billy declares as if there's a whole audience around, stepping up to the plate is Ben, the greatest baseball player of all time. Here he goes. Ben is going to knock this ball right out of the park. So Ben steps up to the plate, and he gets ready, gets in his stance, and he tosses that ball up, and he swings with everything he's got, and there the ball lands right in front of him. Ben says, well, strike one, y'all. Picks up that ball, gets his bat ready, gets in his stance, tosses it up again, swings with everything he's got, and there the ball lands on the ground again. Ugh, strike two. Picks up that ball and he looks at it as if it's the ball's fault, you know, that the bat's not hitting it. Looks at that ball and examines it, and he gets ready and he tosses it up and he swings his biggest swing of all, and the ball lands on the ground once again. So now Ben's mom's really paying attention. How is Ben going to respond to strike three? And what does Ben do? But he looks at the ball and he looks up like he's having the greatest epiphany and he says, Ben, the greatest pitcher of all times. Joy, my friends, is a matter of perspective. It's not how we strike out. It's not how we fail, but where we see in our successes. Ben wasn't successful as a batter, but he was great as a pitcher, and that's what he focused on, and that's where his heart was oriented. Each day in our life, we have a matter of perspective. Each day, we can choose how we see what's happening to us and around us. We can focus on the joy, or we can focus on the pain. Well, we get a little bit of perspective of where we should be as we look in the book of James. In the first chapter of James, it gives us some instructions. Right here, chapter 1, verse 2. Okay? Ready? It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters. Now, I don't know about you, but when somebody says, consider it pure joy, I'm thinking good news is coming next, right? Consider it good news when God is blessing you. Consider it good news when things are going well. Consider it good news when, and now think of the good things, right? Because joy should be related to good news, right? But look at what it says. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Wait a second. When I'm being tried and tempted and I'm going through tribulation and it seems like my life is going through the ringer, and that's when you want me to consider it not just joy but pure joy? This doesn't seem so right. But look what happens. Consider it joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. God says, you know, every trial you get through that you face makes you stronger. And it especially makes you stronger when you go through those times of trials and tribulations and difficulty, and you lean on God, and God gives you the strength to go through, because it enhances your faith to see what God is capable of in your life. And so as we face them, we can consider it joy because we know what's going to happen to us when we get through it. We know that we can be stronger. We know that we can be better. We know that God is going to be all through it and ready to bless us at the other end. If you were here a couple weeks ago, we talked about Abraham when God asked him to sacrifice Isaac. And talk about a trial, talk about a testing, talk about tribulation, talk about the worst moment in your life as Abraham was ready to strike down that knife and kill Isaac. But God blessed him at the end of it. You've made it through this trial. You've made it through this storm. And now here are the blessings that I give you. Here's the ways that I promise I didn't leave you in this moment, and I will never leave you. God says, consider it pure joy because you know you can get through it. You know you have the confidence to face whatever this life has because of who you know is on your side. So how do we look at this joy? Well, first of all, we need to see to have that pure joy is to realize that joy is not an emotion. The emotion is happiness, okay? I was happy this morning when a gentleman that came to the service yesterday came to 8 o'clock worship, said the service was so wonderful yesterday. I used to go to this church, so I wanted to come to worship today. And that made me happy. It made me happy that he wanted to come home and be in worship with us. I was happy this morning that I got to see Betty and Al in worship today after not seeing them for so long. I've had the emotion of happiness. I'm happy I got an extra hour of sleep this morning, especially. But there are things that happen and they make me happy. That's the emotion. But joy is not an emotion. Joy is an attitude of the heart. Do you see what the difference is? It's an attitude of the heart. It's a way of living. Have you ever had that person around you that it just seems nothing gets them down? They just genuinely are always enjoying life. I think back to growing up, and there was a boy on my street named Billy. And Billy, he was born with a disease in his hips, okay? I was like 8, so I don't remember exactly what it was. But what I vividly remember is that Billy had to wear a brace on his hips with a bar between his legs, okay? Imagine being a boy growing up and having your legs basically bolted in one position from one another. It would make it so that he wouldn't be able to ride a bike or a skateboard, wouldn't be able to play sports and do most of the normal things. And I grew up on a very active street. All we were was outside and playing. And you would think in Billy's situation that what would he be, that he would be on the sidelines, depressed because he couldn't participate with the rest of us. But Billy had a whole different attitude and perspective on life. To him, this was not something that was debilitating. This was not something that was holding him back. It was just a big old challenge to him. He figured out how to ride a bike with this on. He figured out how to ride a skateboard. It was the weirdest way you'd ever see these things happen, but he was determined it wasn't going to hold him back. He was the kid that when he had to get crutches after a surgery, he was figuring out how to do tricks with his crutches, okay? He had a matter of perspective, an attitude of the heart, that despite what was happening to him, he was going to have joy in his everyday living, that he was going to make the most out of the moment, and nothing was going to hold him back. This is the kind of joy God desires for us to have in our lives. How is it that our heart is geared, that we wake up each day and we say, this is going to be a good day, and I'm going to choose joy today. I'm not going to choose for the weather or the other drivers on the road or the situations around me to determine my attitude today, but I am going to pick joy. So the question that I ask you is, where is your heart oriented? When you wake up each day and your eyes open, what are the first thoughts that you have? Are they optimistic thoughts about how your day is going to go? Or do you already start sinking yourself into the ground because of the negatives that could happen? The challenge is to wake up with the attitude of joy, to orient your heart, to be able to see what is good around you, to be able to not see the rain, but to be able to see the rainbow that's coming after it. And I know this is a challenge. I know this is a challenge because one of the realities of life is there are those people in those situations that are going to try to steal your joy. They're going to look at you with that smile on your face, and they're going to try to smack it off of you. But the challenge is, how do you keep your heart strong enough that no matter what the choices are of the people around you, that you are able to make it through with that smile still on your face? To see, that's a trial, but look at all the good that I have. Look at what's going well. Look at the ways God is blessing me. Because when we wake up with that kind of attitude in our heart, when we make that kind of choice to say, I'm going to choose joy today, I guarantee it will absolutely affect your day in a positive way when you head out with the attitude that I'm picking joy today, that I'm going to enjoy today, and I'm going to see the blessings that God gives me. I challenge you to come up with your plan. How is it that I'm going to choose joy each day? How is it that I'm going to walk with a smile on my face, not because of the emotion of happiness that requires something to make it that way, but how is my heart going to be in such a way oriented so that today will be a day of living in joy? My friends, will you pray with me? God of all mercy and grace, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks that you brought the sun out to shine upon us, that you gave us an extra hour to sleep in, that you gave us this amazing church family to come and worship with today. For this day and this week have already started out on a good foot, and we give you thanks for that. We ask that you will help us this week to choose joy, to orient our hearts in such a way that we don't see what we're lacking, we don't see how things are going wrong, but that we are able to see what we do have, that we are able to see what is going well, that we are able to see past the darkness and into the light, having faith that you will get us there. For this, we know, can change who we are, can change each day that we have, and can change the relationship we have with you as well. For all of this, Lord, we ask for your help in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in your Holy Spirit that guides us. Amen.